for session and Steph and Jill, welcome to our Easter service this morning, and may this togetherness be a blessing to you all. I'd just like to perhaps quickly draw your attention to some of the little notices on the back of the digest. First one is, you have to remember to bring this back with you on Sunday, because it's double digit, so just remember to bring it with you on Sunday as well, the same digest. Just to reiterate, next on Sunday, there is a retiring offering for the Presider Pill, and if you can't make it on this Sunday, you are invited to put something into the little box at the entrance of the hall of the church as you leave this morning, if you so desire. The rest of the other notices there are there for your perusal. So let us come to worship God in this Easter Sunday, Friday, of hymn number 218, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Thank you. Thanks, Steph.
Join together to pray. Let us bow before the Lord. Lord our God, we have sung those words that draw our attention on this glorious morning to that horrid spectacle of the cross so long ago, that spectacle of pain and suffering, which has been depicted, has been explained to us in its glorious terms by the writer, by Isaac Watts. We're grateful that we can meet in freedom to consider its gore, but its glory. And Father, we realize that we're living in a day when we can do that in freedom, and yet this freedom is so often abused and misused by so many. And we praise you and thank you this morning, Lord, for your kindness to us your glory and grace to us as we meet. Father, it is a significant time, this time of Easter, this time of holiday, this time of rest, this unusual time in the year in our country. And we pray your blessing upon our use of these days. And we ask now that you would bless us and guide us and make it a blessing to us as we meet together today in our wonderful and worthy Saviour's name, in whose name we pray. Amen. Stuart is going to lead us in the reading of God's word.
Our reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 53, reading from verse 3 to 6. It can be found on page 772 of your pew Bibles if you wish to follow the reading. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And may God add his reading of his word. Amen.
Thank you, Stuart. And please keep your Bibles open at that place, and I'm going to speak about those words in a few minutes. Let's join again together to pray. Father in heaven, we gather this morning, and as already mentioned in our prayer to you, we do give you thanks and praise for another year that has passed since we were here together, many of us, at the last observance of this Easter time. We thank you for the heritage that we've entered into to bring us to another Easter. The fact that our country does stop at this time. We know that there are other cultures and other countries where today is just another day. And yes, those who name the name of Christ and for whom he is precious and special, that they remember this day as part of their work day, as part of their ordinary rhythm of life. But for us, this is a special day. And so we thank you that it is even declared a public holiday, and as is Monday as well. And we give you thanks for this time. And we realise that not everyone will observe it the way that a follower of Jesus would, but nonetheless it gives them the opportunity to think about and to reflect upon what life is about and to investigate his claims. And so we pray for those gatherings, those Bible conferences and those Christian gatherings to which those who are seeking the meaning of the Christian faith will be invited, that or will stumble upon or come across by your appointment, that many who seek will find, those who knock will find the door open to them. And many will find Christ this Easter time as articles are written in the paper, as films are displayed on television, as many ways of communicating the faith are taken up, that people would come to trust in Christ at this Easter time. We pray that those who are believers already, that their faith would be strengthened and reinforced and encouraged, because, Lord, we all need words of hope and assurance in what is often a very discouraging world. We pray today, because it is a holiday time as well, for those who will be travelling to and from their usual places of residence at this time. And so for those whom we love and care about, we pray that you may keep them safe. And as we look forward to spending time with those whom we love, we pray that it may be a time of real refreshment and enjoyment and blessing. We thank you for news that Pat has reached Japan safely. And once again, we pray your blessing upon her as she catches up with and meets with former students from MTI there. But Father, our prayers would not be complete on this Friday, this day when Islam proclaims its claims. So we pray for our brothers and sisters, especially in the Islam-dominated parts of your world, for your people who suffer extreme persecution under its domination. And once again, we renew our prayers for your people there and ask that the truth about Jesus would continue to radiate out into the whole of the world, especially in those places. Father, this weekend, our hearts go out to those who are lonely, those who are anxious, wherever they might be, and those whose hearts ache for whatever reason. And our prayer is that you may draw near to them as they draw near to you. We thank you for the peace and calm that you have given Norma at the news of her mum's passing in recent days. And we just pray your blessing upon her as she continues her life of service among us, and pray you would continue to make her a blessing in her family and in the community as you have done over these years. And as Stuart has mentioned, the press aid appeal for Malawi, we thank you for the way that our denomination partners with churches overseas, people of like precious faith with ours. And so we pray for that whole continent of southern Africa and the church in Malawi, Rhodesia, or Zimbabwe as it now is. And we just thank you for the ties of faith that we have with them, even though we may not know them intimately, but their needs are known to you. And as we're able to contribute to support them financially, we thank you that those monies will be stewarded faithfully and conscientiously. And we do pray for that nation of Malawi particularly, that you would guide and bless the work of the church in the gospel preaching and in the help that's given to needy people in that land. That in all things you would be honoured and glorified in our partnership with them. Hear these in our prayers, together with the many other prayers that are offered to you in Jesus' name today, as we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The message today I've titled, The Cross, The End of Suffering. You might think that is an unusual title, but I hope that as we part from one another this morning, it will be clear. It's taken from those verses that Stuart read from Isaiah 53. So if you have your Bible, please open up again to that reading, page 772 in most of them. Well, you now are reminded that, of course, Easter is all about Jesus. That's why we're all here today together. Of course, for many people in our country, it's about some sporting milestone. Beginning of the footy season. I'm sorry to say about the result last night, but nonetheless. The beginning of the footy season, the running of a famous horse race in Sydney. The staging of the stall gift. the surfing championship at Bell's Beach or some other milestone like that. For others, it provides an opportunity for a warmish long weekend to be spent with family and friends, and for some that can be an annual tradition, and once again there's nothing wrong necessarily with those kind of observances. But whatever else Easter is about, it is about the Lord Jesus dying on the cross, but not only dying, but rising again. Hallelujah, and praise the Lord. It's not only about the eggs and the hot cross buns, although they, you know, point in various ways to its true meaning. But it is about suffering. Now, has yours been a happy, carefree life? A life free of all kinds of misunderstanding, disappointment, frustration, pain, and difficulty? I'd say you're shaking your head like that. No, for most of us, in fact, I think probably for all of us, it's not been like that. Well, neither was it like that for our Lord Jesus in his life. And so my first point is, suffering was experienced by Jesus throughout his life here on earth. You see, verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Now, most people, when they read that, think, oh yeah, that referred to the Garden of Gethsemane experience and his suffering on the cross. Well, yes, of course, as we'll see, it climaxed there. But remember, when he was a baby, he had to be taken to Egypt to avoid being slaughtered. Also remember that when he was 12 years old, his mother Mary and his foster father Joseph, they didn't quite get his priorities, and so he said, didn't you know that I must be about my father's business? So he experienced misunderstanding as a 12-year-old. Oh yes, later on when he went public in his service of the Father, people were attracted by his teaching, and of course they should have been. But what about the leaders? They were resolutely hostile, weren't they? Truly, it could be said, right throughout his life, he was despised and rejected. It's recorded of him when he commented on his reception by people that he never entrusted himself to people. Not because he was a loner or embittered, but because he knew the hearts of men, and even those who appeared to welcome and applaud him had a tendency to be fickle and to betray. He experienced profound godly sorrow on entering Jerusalem and seeing the city careless about the things of God in a general sense. He experienced sorrow when he saw the impact of bereavement in the lives of dear Martha and Mary due to the death of their brother and his friend Lazarus, didn't he? And that's why he cried. He wept. Genuine tears of sadness and identification. He experienced sorrow when he went to the temple and saw the state of disobedience to the Lord, his Father, and their God. And as I said, his sorrow came to its climax. And we read, as he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wrestled in temptation. May this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done, Father. And it's recorded there that he sweated drops of blood, not because of any physical pressure that was applied to his body, but because of the spiritual anguish and torture that was going on inside him. I can only express those words, but I can't demonstrate to you how that was. And then, of course, there was the anguish of the cross itself. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Have you experienced sorrow? Perhaps sustained periods of sorrow for whatever reason in your life? Perhaps due to sickness, perhaps due to an injustice or a misunderstanding that you've experienced yourself or you've seen someone else experience and you've been helpless to do anything to fix it, to stop it. Jesus has been there. He understands. We've sung words of Jesus' physical suffering in the hymn of Isaac Watts, and it's appropriate to do that and to remember the physical suffering of Jesus and the fact that there's a sense in which he experienced that kind of suffering, and it could be said of him, he's a man of sorrows. The suffering, the trauma was real, which he experienced. In fact, we could say excruciating. That word, excruciating, refers to the actual experience of the cross. It was suffering imposed by cruel men upon Jesus. But he wasn't alone at the cross. There were others there, both with him on that day and others before him and others after him that experienced those kind of physical sufferings that came to those who were crucified. But his was unique suffering, wasn't it? And we'll see that in the rest of the message this morning. Because his was suffering that was imposed by God the Father at his death. Verse 4 tells us, surely he took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by God, and afflicted. That's verse 4. Yes, when Jesus underwent those agonizing sufferings of the cross, it was suffering, all right. It was real suffering. It was intended as punishment. Punishment by the Romans for disturbing public order. It was punishment by the Jewish religious leaders for making, as they alleged, false claims to be Messiah and thus overturning their authority. It was physical suffering, but it was far more than that. Jesus was undergoing punishment. God imposed punishment, not for his own sins, but for the sins of the people the Father had given him as a spiritual bride. And so, the reference to his carrying the infirmities of many is included there at verse 4. Yes, Easter is about the suffering of Jesus to pay sin's penalty. And that takes me to the third point, which is really the heart of the Easter message and the heart of these verses here, verses 5 and 6. Suffering volunteered by Jesus on his people's behalf. See verses 5 and 6. They describe this suffering of Jesus as payment for his people's sin debt. And they describe them very graphically. But it is all the more remarkable that this suffering was entered into voluntarily, willingly, by Jesus. Verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. Notice the pronouns here. For our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sentences full of pronouns. Our, us, we, our, us. Yes. The physical agony was indeed excruciating. It was traumatic. It was shocking. It was awful. But much more for our Lord was the abandonment by the Father. He didn't deserve it. He'd never experienced it. But it wasn't for himself. It wasn't anything due to what he had done. But he volunteered it so that he might pay the penalty for our sins, for the sins of his people. Not because of rebellion against Rome, not because of a challenge to Caiaphas's authority. No. It was to pay for the price of the misdeeds of Stefan Slutsky, John Newton, Charles Wesley, Ray Francis, Albert Harvey, John Flynn. And I've just picked out some names at random, the people that we would know. But dear ones, your name, as you have come to trust the Lord Jesus. I'm not putting myself up on a pedestal with Charles Wesley, heaven forbid, but any and every Christian person who's come to trust in Christ throughout all time is there as part of the bride of Christ. As the good, the great, the living shepherd of his flock, Jesus has paid the price for every sheep in his flock that has gone astray, that has turned to their own way, that their iniquities might be cleansed away. And in dying, he's gathered his flock together. Where there was once war between guilty souls and God, there is now blessed peace. Where there was a breach, there is now healing. Some people have looked at these verses and talked and thought in terms of physical healing in this world. Friends, it's much greater, much more important than that. The infirmities that are spoken of are not physical ones, but spiritual ones. The healing that's spoken of is not physical healing, but spiritual healing. So that guilty Stefan Slutsky, with all his sin, with all his imperfection, with all his frailty and failure, can be put right with a holy God forever because of what Jesus did on the cross. The cross brought an end to suffering. Not of a physical kind, although it did that for the Lord Jesus. When he died, that was the end of his suffering. And he now was able to say, "It is finished," referring to the end of the punishment for him, the end of the punishment for the forgiven sinner. Jesus' sacrifice has brought an end to suffering for those who've come to belong to God's family through him. That's Easter. That's what it's all about, as far as God is concerned. That's why we call this day Good Friday. From a purely worldly point of view, it should be called Gory Friday. Horrendous Friday. Horrid Friday. Grotesque Friday. But because of the effectiveness of the cross, it is Good Friday. My prayer is that you have come to see that, and you've come by God's grace to trust Christ and to benefit from the finished work of Jesus on the cross by trusting him, relying upon him, resting the weight of your whole eternal future upon his finished work. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing the wonderful hymn that brings the two truths together. Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Let's pray. dear Heavenly Father, for designing the gospel in the way that you have. Words fail us to say thank you enough, to express our gratitude enough for these glorious truths. Through the most horrendous suffering that we can begin to imagine, you have brought the most heartwarming and glorious truth and beauty that we can conceive with our minds. As the word says, ear has not heard, neither has the eye seen, nor can the mind imagine what you've prepared for those who love you. And as we meet to commemorate this most solemn and somber day, it has become indeed good and glorious Friday because of the achievement of the cross, the end of suffering, and the doorway into eternal glory. Oh, Father, we thank you for the cross, because we know it is the gateway to the crown of glory. And therefore, what could write those words? That the thorns that impose such gruesome pain could form such a glorious crown. Only faith can see that. And my prayer is that each of us can lay hold of such faith as your Spirit enables, so that we can sing these words in a moment with understanding, with personal application, and embrace them with true and holy joy. Thank you for making this possible through our Saviour Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. 206 then. Man of Sorrows, what a name. We could end the service there. Just one more sentence from the scripture that I just thought I'd bring to our attention, which summarizes what I've said. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us, or to bring you to God. A beautiful summary. He was guilty of not one sin, having no sin nature within, but he died for each of his people who remain guilty of numerous sins. Well, in conclusion of the service today, hymn 213, we sing the praise of him who died, of him who died upon the cross. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all today and forevermore. Amen.